The key comment that I have made is about Harriet Harman and her position in this report, when before she became chairman, she had publicly tweeted her criticisms and her disbelief in Boris Johnson. And you must remember that the Law Lords, and the Law Lords were a committee of Parliament, exactly the same way as the Privileges Committee, had the Hoffman principle. When Lord Hoffman ruled on Pinochet and his wife was a member of Amnesty, he had to have that judgment set aside because of the appearance of partiality. And it seems to me that exactly the same applies to Harriet Harman. The appearance of partiality because of what she tweeted meant that she was not the right person to be the chairman. And Chris Bryant had stood aside for exactly that reason. And that once you have a chairman who shouldn't be the chairman, then you undermine the whole report.
But Sir Jacob, the criticisms levelled at the committee by Boris Johnson and some of his supporters have been far beyond just Harriet Harman. Are you suggesting had Harriet Harman recused herself, then you would have found legitimacy in this report? Because I don't think you would have.
My main criticism has been about Harriet Harman being the chairman of this committee. But this is obviously a political event, that the Houses of Parliament, that the High Court of Parliament is political. It is fundamentally political, and everybody knows that. And one of the aspects of democracy, the report complains about tax on democracy. This is nonsense. The fundamental of democracy is freedom of speech. And the idea that you can't criticise Parliament or a committee of Parliament is absurd. If the Transport Committee comes out with a report saying, I don't know, that we should turn the Thames into a motorway, we're allowed to criticise it, we're allowed to say it's a bonkers report. That is freedom of speech.
Have you read the report and has it changed your view on Mr. Johnson?
I have read the report carefully, and there are a couple of things that might be worth highlighting. One is that they seem to think they can get into Boris Johnson's mind and find him guilty of misleading because they think they know what he was thinking. So when he goes upstairs, they think that he must have noticed. Well, they have no evidence for that. That's just a supposition. I'd also say that I was leader of the House at the time and I was briefed for business questions to answer why a party is going on. And the briefing I was given, the line to take, was exactly the same as the Prime Minister's, and that is that the rules were followed at all times, with emphasis on all times. So I think they have come to conclusions that are not fully supported by the evidence. And there's one very interesting thing. If you look at the back, look at Appendix 3, they make a response to the comments Mr. Johnson makes and what they think he should have said. But they leave out, they don't respond to the key point he makes about Harriet Harman's position. It's Appendix 1. Appendix 1 and Appendix 3 is Johnson's statement. And they say, they go through all Johnson's questions in his letter of the 9th of June, but they ignore this key point which they fail to answer. And that seems to me to be just as serious as some of the things they accuse Boris Johnson of. They answer selectively. They don't answer that fundamental point, chairman who had expressed her view prior to the case.
So, Jacob, it seems that kind of the kind of guardrails, if you like, or the lines are set in this, and that Boris Johnson supporters are not going to be moved to find another position on the findings of this report. But just to be clear before we move on, when it comes to Harriet Harman, you believe that if she had recused herself, the committee would have had more legitimacy?
Oh, definitely. If you had found a Labour MP who had made no comment about Boris Johnson, that would have established a committee with considerably more authority. And look what Chris Bryant did. Chris Bryant recused himself because he had done what Harriet Harman had also done.
I imagine many of your colleagues in the Commons will be shouting at the television at this point, saying it was a 14-month investigation. It was asked for by the House of Commons. It was a cross-party committee. They have studied so much evidence and they have come to this conclusion. And that by criticising it, you and Boris Johnson and his supporters are undermining the legitimacy of democratic institutions. Many people might think that.
First of all, who drafts the report that a committee agrees? It's the chairman. They vote on the chairman's draft. The influence of the chairman is fundamental to select committees. And the idea that you can't criticise select committee reports or their operations is absurd. The House of Commons used to try and be very precious about its privilege and called John Junior to the bar of the House, and it makes itself look foolish when it is precious about privilege.
Let me put it another way to you, Sir Jacob, because you like process. Was it right for Boris Johnson to basically breach confidentiality, having been given a copy of the report, by on Friday resigning and effectively revealing some of, not the detail of the report,
but that's the key point.
Do you think he should have done that?
You qualify yourself quite rightly. You say effectively. He didn't reveal the details of the report. He obeyed the confidentiality, but he decided...
They say that he breached it.
They say that by deciding to resign, he breached it. But they can't point to any individual item where he's breached it. But you've been listening to the radio and to the media, and you will no doubt have heard journalists say, sources close to the committee have told them, that is a breach of privilege. If any member of the committee or clerk of the committee has briefed a journalist anonymously, that is a breach of privilege. And I think they should take the mote out of their own eye, the beam out of their own eye, before trying to take the mote out of Boris Johnson's.
OK. So, Jacob, it seems to me that the report is out, and really the positions were set before the report is out, and it's not really changing the narrative around Boris Johnson.
I think there's one thing that's changed, and that this is this 90-day suspension, which is extraordinary. I think it shows that the report is deliberately trying to do damage to Boris Johnson. It is way beyond a judicial sanction. Very few people have got sanctions of this kind for sometimes the most serious offences.
He was the Prime Minister, and the committee has found that multiple contempts of Parliament. He was the Prime Minister. Does that not mean that his sanction should be greater because of the responsibility he bore?
For most of the contempts, they find he wasn't Prime Minister. They find most of the contempts about how he responded to them, which I think when you're defending yourself, to say, well, we don't agree with the way you've defended yourself, is a very odd way of proceeding. But no, I think their fundamental judgment is wrong, because I don't think he deliberately misled Parliament, and I think he tried to correct the record when he could, and there's good evidence for that. But I think the 90-day sanction shows more than perhaps the committee would like to show.
And what about his pass being revoked?
Oh, it was trivial. I mean, that's just so it's like switching off a child's Nintendo 10 minutes early.
Well, that would be very serious in my house if I dare do that, to be honest. But just on what happens next, I've got two questions for you. The first is there any way back politically for Boris Johnson after this? Is he done? Is he finished?
This sort of report has no long-term effect on people's political careers. If you think of John Wilkes in the 18th century...
No effect on his career?
No, well, he's left Parliament, so it's had that effect. But once he'd left Prime Minister, he can come back. If he comes back, this report is ineffective, because if you are adopted and voted for by the electorate, this overrules a parliamentary report.
Is he too damaged from this? Can he come back? Will he come back?
It depends on the judgment people come to. I think many people will look at 90 days and will think that that is simply too harsh, too aggressive, and shows what the committee was really trying to do. I think this will generate sympathy for him, but he is still a popular national figure. He still has a connection with voters that most politicians would give their eye teeth for.
Next question. Does it reopen a Tory civil war? In the Commons, Penny Mordaunt said, let people vote how they choose to vote and leave us alone to do it. And I felt that that was an indication of some of the tensions and pressures colleagues are under over the vote.
Well, there is normally a free vote on a House of Commons business, so that's not atypical.
But is this opening up divisions again in the Conservative Party over Boris Johnson versus Rishi? I mean, it is, isn't it?
Didn't somebody once say we're a nest of singing birds, quoting Dr. Johnson?
I think
Johnson.
It was Boris Johnson when he was having a massive row with Theresa May over Brexit.
I remember I was there.
Well, I remember him also saying that.
But I think nest of singing birds is the line to take.
How do you think the vote will go? Inevitably,
Boris will lose the vote because you have the whole of the opposition against him. Any opposition would always vote against a previous Prime Minister. But you also have the Boris haters in the Conservative Party. So
there are Boris haters in the Conservative Party that will vote against him?
Oh, of course there are.
How many do you think will vote against him?
I have no idea.
How damaging will it be for MPs to vote against him and then have to go back and face their constituents or their grassroots?
I wouldn't even want to faintly imply that MPs should be influenced by outside factors in how they vote. That, I think, would be a breach of privilege. MPs should always vote as they think right and proper and never with an eye to how people will react to it.
Final question. Have you spoken to him in the past few days. Have you spoken to him today?
I haven't spoken to him today, but I'm in touch with Boris.
And how is he? I mean, is he furious?
Well, he's not best defeated. Pleased, but he's definitely not defeated, no.
Is this not the knockout blow?
Of course it's not.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the worst thing that happened with this, if it fell on your foot, it might give you a bruise, but no more than that.
I mean, so Jacob, you're saying, just to be clear, that you don't think that this signals the end of Boris Johnson, the end of his political career, that he has been so compromised.
Oh, no. I'm afraid this has the effect of making those people who don't like Boris Johnson dislike him a bit more, and those who do like him think that the Privileges Committee has made a mistake.
Do you think he'll be back or attempt to come back to Parliament before the next general election?
Not before the next election. To all your Tory viewers, of whom I hope there are legions, we must back the Prime Minister until the next election. We can't change leader again, that would be ridiculous.
And then after the election, a political comeback by Boris Johnson?
Well, when Mr Sunak wins with a majority of 250, we won't need to worry too much about leadership.
So you think Rishi Sunak will do better than Boris Johnson?
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
Well, Boris Johnson won an 80-seat
majority. We can but hope. Great Tory successes.
So, Jacob, just final thought from you, then, of the fallout of this.
Well, look, they've come to their report. I think many people will think that the report was badly handled. They will come back to the Hoffman principle and Harriet Harman's role in this and think that she ought to have recused herself, and that would have made a more valid report.
OK, thank you so much, Sir Jacob, for joining us.